before the worlds were formed. Yet when darkness claimed his own, he stepped from heaven's throne to bear a cross and wear a crown of thorns. So high the price he paid, the nails, the cross, the grave. Such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life. So deep the love, so high the price. Son of God, so willingly he took our place, clothed in robes of frail humanity. Fragile flesh and blood, priceless crimson flood, offered up for sin at Calvary. So high the price he paid, the nails across the grave. Such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life. So deep the love, so high the price. Buried like a beggar in a borrowed tomb, everything for nothing, so it seemed. But death could never stand against the nail-scarred hands and power of heaven's resurrected King. So high the price he paid, the nails across the grave. Such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life. So deep the love, so high the price. So deep the love, the love. So high the price. So high the price.
Thank you for that. Of course, we have a handout this night. We are in, we are back in the book of Proverbs. And I do want to commend you for being here. It's an off night. It's a Tuesday night. We actually have a pretty good group out of town. And so thank you for being flexible, allowing us to, pretty short notice, a couple weeks, let you know that, hey, we're having church on Tuesday night so the Spanish can have their conference at the end of the week. Of course, we're in the section now, this we've been working on for several weeks, about wisdom's good advice. These are several things that maybe don't fall into a category. And Jeremy, this is just off, the monitor's off a little bit. I don't know how it sounds out there, but if we could clear it up just a little bit. Last time, which was several weeks ago, we got back in it, and then we took a little bit of a break. We remember that wisdom is the ability to apply truth to life, and we understand that wisdom is not tied to education. Now, education can further us to wisdom if it's not just giving us facts, if it's teaching us truths that are practical, we can apply to our life. That's why it is very important who we allow to teach us and who we allow to influence us. As we get to the end of our school year in the summer, for a few weeks, we'll have a time when Brother Chim or myself will talk a little bit about the importance of a proper education. We have to understand that our public school system is, what's the word I'm looking for? Garbage. Okay? One of the new ladies on Sunday came to me and said her son, it's a brand new lady, her son's in public school in Long Beach. He got suspended for 3 days. he did something horrific. Somebody sneezed and he said, God bless you. And he got suspended for 3 days. Okay. You know, we talk about all the nonsense going on. Used to be back in the day, even though our public schools were not Christian by any stretch of the imagination, they were moral. I used to get spanked at school by my teachers, okay? And what did your parents do? They probably cheered, okay? And by the way, you say, that's brutal. I listened. Mr. Selznick, you say, what did Mr. Selznick look like? His name. Mr. Selznick, when he spoke, I listened. I usually got in trouble on recess, and it's like the Lord's coming, you know. The Lord's coming soon, and recess would end, and he wasn't even a brother. Mr. Selznick would find out, and he paddled us right in front of the whole class. So it's important what we're learning. And so we want to be in our Bibles, and we want to be challenged and pushed towards the Word of God, because those are the truths that actually can make, that be a part of our life and can transform us. Last time, we looked at number 5, promises that are not fulfilled or expectations that are not realized can lead to frustration, depression, and we went over that. I'm not going to belabor it. Number 6, this is brand new. Working hard is never bad for you. And in reality, it is the way to having the provisions you need. Proverbs 14 and verse number 23, it says, in all labor there is what? Profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Now let's look at the words there. What is labor? Labor means pain and toil and hardship. Okay? Work can be fun if you enjoy what you should try to have a job you enjoy doing. Now, if you can enjoy it and you need to pay the bills, you work anyhow. By the way, I have found that working hard makes work a lot more funner than not working hard. When I was in Bible college, the first couple years I was there, I was a security guard. That was about as much fun as watching grass grow. You know, another blade. Especially when you're working, you're working over 40 hours a week. You're going to school full time. It was an hour drive to work typically, and you work third shift as a college student. That was really hard. By the way, that's where I learned how to drink coffee. Security. I used to preach against coffee. You wicked sinners, you need caffeine. That's a drug. And then one night I was struggling at work, and a brother in college said, I know you preach against the stuff. You have to drink this. And he won me to the Lord right there. And I'm like, brother, what? Then I got on the bus. I like, look, I'm man enough to admit my faults. I was wrong on coffee. Coffee is the river of water that flows by the throne of God in heaven. Yes, it is. Anyhow, back to reality. But it's basically working, okay? In all labor, working, there is profit, abundance or plenty. That's what profit means. But the talk of the lips, which is the opposite of working, tendeth only to penury, lacking, poverty, or being poor, not having what you need. Work is God's way of meeting our needs, if we get this verse correctly. And building character in our lives. In the Bible, there is always a connection. There is always connection between labor and reward. Okay? In Corinthians, it talks about that day when our life is over and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will not be judged for our sins. Praise God right there. Okay, our sins have been paid for. Our works will be judged. What we did, how we worked. But our labor, if it was done for the Lord and done in the right way, it will be rewarded. Okay, God sees what we're doing. By the way, those of you that sacrificed and gave on Sunday, God sees that. God sees that you're interested in eternity and you invested in that. And so, but even our work for him, you say, well, look, you know, and I'm pretty sure, I've only been in the nursery a couple times, I'm pretty sure that working in the nursery is not something that if it's your turn on Thursday night, and if you work, ladies, you don't get off and say, praise God, I'm in the nursery. I can't wait to get to church. Now, if you do have that mindset, you have issues, okay? Now, you love the children, I get it, and you'll do it, it's your job. But it's, look, you know, you're gonna get rewarded for that. You faithful Sunday school teachers, you're gonna get rewarded for that, working for the Lord. And so that principle is not just true spiritually, it's true physically in life. In our society, we want the reward without the labor, right? Ladies, let me illustrate for you, that for you. Are you ready? One word, epidural. You with me? Okay, how many ladies, you've had that? Okay, my wife, and she's a farm girl, but those first few kids, bless God, we're doing it natural. And she did great. I'll tell you what, as bad as it is to have a kid, epidural was a blessing towards the end, amen? Okay, and but so you know what we want in our society? We want it, but we don't want to earn it. That's why get rich quick schemes are so popular. By the way, what has happened in our society, we've become the society where the parenting skills have been eroded thanks to our government and our public schools and all that nonsense, and Dr. Spock and Freud and a bunch of other nonsense. And so we spoil our children, and now they're spoiled adults. They've been given everything in life, and they've been told that you can join your team, and if your team is in last place and you never got a hit, you get a trophy. Garbage. When I was younger, our parents, pastor's parents, my mom, they used to bowl in bowling leagues, and as kids, we would go there and hang out. And they gave trophies to the first place team, and they gave a trophy to the last place team, and I loved it. It was a picture of a guy sideways throwing the ball like he had no idea what he was doing. It was kind of a reminder that you stunk this time. Okay, now that kind of trophy, I'm all in on. Not that we're going to get the kids down, but they need to learn. You know what? The other team just did better. I'll just work a little harder next time. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're so afraid. By the way, let's get off on a tangent. You quit sissifying your children. Your little Oswald plays on the playground and he falls and he gets a scrape and everybody freaks out. Let's call social services. You know what we used to call that when I was a kid? We called that being a kid. I don't know, I don't remember how many times when we were out kids playing, I get hurt. I remember one time, there was a house, and it was an old abandoned type house, and it used to be a store, and it had a metal pipe this big that went up, and that big solid, and it used to be used for a sign. And I know at least twice I was running and hiding, and I got up and I forgot that part, bam! And I saw stars, and I probably, be honest with you, got a mild concussion, but it's like, we just kept playing. And I'm not saying if you get a concussion, you shouldn't go. I'm just saying we sissify and everything should be handed to you and don't eat dirt. Boys need to eat dirt. And by the way, your little girls need to toughen up a little bit too. I don't need to mean they need to be sumo wrestlers or any garbage like that. But anyhow, back to reality. Our government has made a living off of that. I saw a survey today that said many, it was a little story, and then it had a survey, said many of our millennial college students in college are now thinking of socialism in a positive light. By the way, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. He's a hypocritical one. He talks about the one percenters. He's in the one percenters. Okay, he's a hypocrite. They were talking about, and this isn't, I'm not getting off on politics, I'm just making a point about our politicians. You know, they're all against guns. He went to speak at a rally against guns and he had armed bodyguards with him. Hypocritical idiot. By the way, let me just throw that out. Hollywood is so hypocritical. Guns are bad. Every movie has them. I would probably respect some of their positions if their positions they took in life mirrored the movies they made on the screen. Back to reality. What were we talking about? Jesus is good. Oh, so they did this thing. A lot of college students now are starting to go through socialism. They have no idea what it is. By the way, Margaret Thatcher said socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. So, someone's got to make money. But then they put a poll. This is hilarious, some of it. It says, the poll says, here was a question that went with that story. What most often wakes up people enamored by communism, particularly these college students? And you had to vote. You could vote for more than one. Which one of these will really wake them up that socialism doesn't work? Here's your options. When they buy their first home and property. Property taxes, like rent to the government. When they hold their first child. When they question Bernie Sanders' three houses. When they see FICA tax on their first paycheck. When they graduate after 6 years of college. When they read their first conservative article. And then here's the last two I like. When they put down the weed. And my favorite. And when their roommate stiffs them on their rent. They won't be socialists anymore. Let me just tell you that. You are usually more liberal in your early years, and if you have a brain that works, as you get older, you realize, hey, I've been sold a bill of goods. All right, back to our regularly scheduled message. What were we talking about? Labor! God's way is to earn your way. Okay? With that in mind, let me share a few principles here. Okay? Practical thoughts. First of all, be the best employee that you can be. Be the best employee that you can be. You don't have to walk on water, but can I just tell you something? Don't be a bad employee. The last place I worked before we got our own business, and then after that, I started working for the church. It was a union warehouse, Ingram Paper. I remember a couple months before I quit, I came in, and one of the guys in our shift was being talked to by our boss. And I happened to walk in to do something, and I heard their conversation. He had been late 76 times that year. And as he was talking to the boss, he just couldn't comprehend why the boss would call him on the carpet about it. He said, it's only like 9 or 10 minutes. Okay, that's what babies do. The last several years I was there, I was late once. I was late twice. And one time something happened, I called him in advance. The other time I was there, I forgot to clock in. Okay, that's our society. That's a bad employee. And by the way, you could get away with it. I worked at a place one time. I started working there for Toshiba, and they didn't have a clock, a punch clock. You just signed your time in. I show up for the very first day of work. I show up. There's three of us when time started. And one of the guys walked over and introduced himself. He said, hey, you're new here? I go, yeah. He goes, do you usually come on time? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, you'll be one of the few. They would all come in 5 to 10 minutes late, and they would just sign that they were there on time, and the boss didn't care. I could have done that. But you know what? I'm a Christian. And so the one time, because I was like a 45-minute drive, I actually was stuck in traffic. I was 5 minutes late, and I got that paper, and I'm like, I got to be honest. Now, they're not. I could have signed, but let's be the best employee, okay? You may not be the fastest, you may not do the most work, but that'll look at you and say, you know what? That guy gives it his all. Shows up on time, he has a good attitude. When it's break time, that's when he goes. When break's over, he comes back, okay? By the way, if they're gonna give raises and they're gonna get promotions, why shouldn't Christians get them? You don't live your life living for money, but can I just tell you something? If you're working somewhere, you ought to say, if they're giving raises out, I want that money. By the way, who would be, well, thank you. I will. Who would be a better steward of that money? You would as a Christian. By the way, one of the reasons I got one of the jobs I was talking about is because, I told this story before, they interviewed me 3 times for that. It was a good union job and you got a lot of money. They were very careful who they brought in. They interviewed me 3 different times and I kept thinking, I interviewed with everybody, including the shift, the warehouse shift guy. And he finally told me why. He was the last one. He goes, you know why they keep sending you for these interviews? They usually don't, but it's like, they just think you're too thin to do this. Man, those were the days. But then he said, but you're Johnny's friend. He pointed at my friend, Johnny Sanchez. He said, you're Johnny's friend, right? He goes, I go, yeah. He goes, he's a great worker. You're his buddy. We'll give you a chance. Okay? By the way, Johnny was a Christian. And so let's work hard. Be the best employee that you should be. By the way, the Bible tells us do everything as unto the Lord. Next little thought, when it comes to in all labor, there's profit. But you say, and I know it's hard, but I make as much as that guy, and he doesn't work hard, and I'm working harder than he is. Yes. Because you're a Christian. By the way, God blesses that. He'll bless that in every area of your life. And I know when I worked in that warehouse, we filled orders and we get a sheet and it had two columns on it. And you, every time you filled an order, you wrote the number down. So, and they would track, now they didn't do anything about it, how many orders you filled that night. The average guy would do half a sheet or maybe one half a sheet or one half a sheet and one half on the other side. I always turned in two sheets. Now they walk slow, it's like you got the same pay. First of all, work went faster. And second of all, they would bump me up to little things where I'd get a little bit more money, even though I didn't have seniority. Because they like the fact you worked hard. So just work hard. All right, next, teach your children the value of work. And our society is so, you know, if a kid works for more than 2 hours, that's child abuse. Listen, really? It's not child. We're not sticking them in a closet for 16 hours to work in the dark for 50 cents an hour. I'm not saying that, but the children can do things, you know, pick up your toys and do this or that. Just give them little things to do and praise them when they do that, okay? If you don't have them do things as children, they will not do them as adults, okay? Children, by the way, I've been pushing this lately, but you know, listen, if I have a teenager in this church, I'm gonna have them on a bus route. They ought to work in church ministry too. I think we're getting away from that a little bit, and I think if you're letting that happen, it's a bad move. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. It's your kids, and if you don't agree with that, don't hate me. Keep the building money coming. That's fine. We agree to disagree. But can I just tell you something? It's good for your kids. Just to help and be out there helping other teenagers and other children and seeing that, hey, they might appreciate what they have. But you know what? They'll be learning that life is not about them. The average teenager is this. I was out at one of the doctors the other Monday, and I came down. I came down Orange Street, and there's like four schools. I didn't know that, and then you have to slow down. But as I walked, the kids were coming out of school, and everywhere there was a little clump of them, 90% of them. Like, you know, I'm a pastor of a church. I have employees. I have church members. I have a wife. And I'm like, what are they doing? I'm not even on it that much. It's like, seriously. Now, I know those kids, they have more going on in life, and they have so many more responsibilities. But Ezekiel called me. You're fired, Ezekiel. That's the problem, though. So anyhow, I better move on for you. Hate me, and you quit giving to the building. Next, understand that God's provision is tied to our efforts. We pray for God to meet our needs, and yet we don't want to work. Can I get a witness? Here's a guy. I want God to meet my needs. How many applications have you filled out this week? Now look, if you're having trouble finding a job, no problem, as long as you're out looking for one. Okay? See, what we want is we want God to drop everything in our pocket, and we're not willing to put any effort in, and God says, no. Now, you know what I found? If you are a little short, but you're out working, and you're doing the best you can with the job you have, God kind of makes up the difference sometimes. Okay? If you don't have, well, you know, I don't have a job. I'm waiting for that job that gives me 30 bucks an hour. Go get two that pay 15, or get one that pays 15 and work that until you find the one that pays you 30. And I want you to have the one that pays 30, because we got to get the building done. Okay? I want you to have the better paying job if it's out there. But you know what that is a lot of times? You're not, I'm overqualified for that job. Well, you're overqualified for unemployment either, or not getting paid for not working. So get something in the meantime. Right. I'm not making friends today. And Sunday, you were so good too. Seriously, I'm so proud. Don't hate me. I hate myself. But understand that. Next, don't look for shortcuts. Okay, don't look for shortcuts. Everybody's looking for a shortcut. That is why pyramid schemes are so popular. Do you understand? And this isn't me, Matt. This is math. Pyramid schemes don't work. It's mathematically impossible for the person that gets in under you, for you to get a cut of their money, and the person that's above you gets a cut of both of your money. It's impossible. Yeah. Unless you're printing the money in the back room, then it'll probably work. Okay? But we want shortcuts. By the way, don't take advantage of people to make money. Don't take advantage of people. Be honest with them. Make a profit. I'm not saying that. Don't rip them off. Unless you're giving it to the building, then have at it. Playing lotto, gambling on sports is going to become legal now, thanks to our Supreme Court. Is it just me, or do they get a lot of stuff wrong? Okay, how many families is that going to hurt because that's an addiction? I wonder. So don't look for shortcuts. And I know we all get the email about the Muslim lady whose husband is dying of cancer and she got converted and she wants to give us 15.2 American dollars if we'll just send her our email address with $5,000 to process it. Okay, you're not going to get that 15 million. It's a lie, all right? I tried. It was worth a try. Be a person of action, not words. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. It's amazing how people are talking about what they're going to be in the future. Okay, these people sometimes hang out at the coffee shops. Guy's 45 years old. He's been in college for 37 years, and he's going to be a millionaire by the time he's 30. He's 15 years late. Okay, get out of college and go get a job. All right, that was very popular. If you're going to college, finish it up. But man, when you're 45, I mean, you should have grandchildren. You should know what you're doing. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with your life. Man, you got 10 years left. You're going to be dead. Do something. That's just how I see it. By the time you do graduate, you're going to step out from a curb and get hit by a car, and you blew it. Well, you know, I just got this. Okay, we all do. Be a person. Pastor gave us a book. Pastor asked me many years ago. The book was called Execution. Now, I thought that was he was trying to hint what he wanted to do to us, okay? But the whole, I don't remember the book. I read it because he gave it to us. I just remember one thing. Plans are worthless unless you follow them. Yep. Got to execute them. And so we got to be a person of action, not just words. Now, I want you to see it. Listen to Paul's testimony, and we'll be done here in a couple minutes. Listen to Paul's testimony as he gives us a clue as to what happened to him to become what helped him to become the apostle that he was. Now, this is scripture, so he's not boasting. God inspirationally had him put it in there for our advantage, okay? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, listen, whatever I am, it's by God's grace. And the grace he gave me was not wasted. That's what Paul is saying. It's not vain. It's not empty. Why wasn't the grace that God bestowed to Paul not worthless? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, anything I am, anything I do, anything I accomplish is because of God's grace in my life. But I did my part. Yep. I worked the best. I worked the hardest I could. Do you understand that? You know, we're waiting for God. You know, how come God won't help me get over this sin? That's not the question. God's not going to help you get over the sin. He's going to help you to be obedient. We want God to take away the sin. God says, no, be obedient. And the sin will go away. All right, a lot of friends I'm losing tonight. He used God's grace to motivate him to work hard to serve the Lord. And that should be all of us, right? We work our jobs. We ought to also do something for God. Why do we do something for God? Because, as I mentioned on Sunday morning, that point number one, because he loved us. And that grace in loving us is what motivates us to do what we do for him. If you're doing it because someone's beating you over the head, it won't last. If you're doing it because you're going to feel guilty, it won't last. But if you say, you know, God's grace has done this for me, in some small way, I want to do something for him. Now, Paul did it in a great way. God used him that way. But there's a point. God, as we finish this all up, God will not do for us that which we need to do ourselves. Now, sometimes you're in need. Sometimes you're doing the best you can. Bills are piling up and all that. Listen, ask God to help you with that. As you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you're working, and you're doing the things, and it's not adding up, say, Lord, I am doing everything I can. I'm working, and you show me a better thing or whatever. But God has a tendency to take care of his own. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or I think it's his children, his seed begging bread. You say, oh, I've known Christian, a guy that says he's a Christian, and he's struggling, then there's a violation of scripture somewhere. Either God's a liar, I'm not in on that one, or someone's violating scripture somewhere. Okay? And so we just do what we can and trust God to help us with the rest. The problem I see sometimes is we are not willing to do our part. Right? And that's a problem. God gives us even the strength. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it did this day. Whatever amount of wealth or income you have, it is because God has given you that ability. By the way, and we don't have a rich church, but if there's somebody in this church that's rich, and I sure hope there is someday, we need a Russell Anderson here. Okay? Now, if you're going to be a pagan, then forget it. But if you're going to love God and make money, listen, if God's given you that ability, you're not better than anybody else. God gave you that ability. Most people, they start making money, they look down on other people. God's like, no, I've given you your ability to do that. But we have to use it. Yes, sir. God wants us to use it. Talk is cheap and produces little. Action is valuable and produceth much. What is God saying? Don't be afraid to work and labor for what you need and for what God asks you to do for him. Let's pray.